Join the Vintage Cellars Wine Club today to get invitations to exclusive member events, points on every wine purchase, and access to members-only offers. Join today in-store or at vintagecellars.com.au. Vintage Cellars, Australia's fine wine specialists since 1951.
This is Let's Talk Home Building for developments by Dale Alcock, helping developers to minimise their risk and maximise their profits.
Andy, welcome along. Good to
good
see you
morning,
again.
Good morning, Darren.
A fellow Baldy has joined us.
Yes, I have.
And a fellow with a decent set of hair, making both of us somewhat jealous. I don't mean to speak for both of us, yeah. Andy, but I think
the
that's
the only advantage is the money I save on haircuts.
You really. And me both. Yeah. Jason Blake, g'day. How are you?
Well, guys, how are you going?
Very well. From Dale Alcock here, talking about stage developments.
Yeah, what a fascinating one.
Yeah, what is a stage development?
Well, stage development basically is when you do a larger development in different parts over a different time frame, hence being staged.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so what's an example? I mean, what's an example of the art form? We're talking about, like large areas that sort of go with a big umbrella name. For example, I'm just trying to think of, is it like Honeywood-esque kind of areas on the freeway heading south?
Well, that'd be a large land development stage, definitely. Okay, but we're probably talking a bit smaller.
Okay. So if you've got a property and you've got an old home on it and you knew you had potential to put, say, 3 units on, something along those lines, that's the sort of stuff you deal with? Is that what stage development is?
Yeah, that's part of stage development, definitely. Yeah. For instance, what you're saying is, for instance, you've got the old house, it's sitting kind of in the middle, and you could knock the old house over and build 3 straight away, but you don't build 3 straight away. You might build the back unit first and then maybe knock the house over and build 2 more.
Yeah.
Do you do that so that you can do one and then potentially make some money on that to help with the other bits coming? I mean, is that part of the reason?
Definitely one of the motivations, definitely.
Yeah.
Also mitigates risk as well. So you might have grandma sitting in a property and she does not want to move. But you can build 3. So they build a unit at the back and she may sell it or rent it and she's got a cash flow and then she may move into that and then knock down the front house and build 2 there. Also, sometimes people can't afford to actually build all 3 at the one time because the bank says, look, we can give you money for 1, but we can't give you money for 3. So they build the back one.
Yeah.
They then can sell it and cash out or have a rent coming in, which then allows them to service the front 2.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. By the sound of it, this is all part of the process of sort of being, unlike what is the natural approach for some, I'll put my hand up here as being potentially the mug occasionally on these circumstances. Sounds like the way that you should go about things if you don't want to wind up, stuck with enormous mortgages or whatever else. It sounds sensible. Is that fair?
Yeah, very sensible and so forth. A lot of the times it is really about your own personal circumstance and what you're trying to achieve. It's very important to make sure that you've got a goal in mind and then you just stage that goal.
So, I mean, I guess the size really comes down to each individual circumstance. Like, as you say, it could just be a single block that you want to turn into a bunch of townhouses. Or, I mean, how big can we talk stage developments? I mean, how big do they get?
Well, the whole of Perth is a stage development, isn't it?
Okay. Who's in charge of that? Who's responsible for Perth?
There's many people responsible.
It's a very diplomatic answer.
Yeah, well, being very careful, there's many people responsible, but not many people putting their hand up when it goes wrong.
But I guess this is the thing. If it's your land and it's your development, then you can. You can do it how you want it.
Certainly. Well, a lot of people realising when they see land subdivisions, as you mentioned, Honeywood and so forth, they have stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. Now, they do that because they don't want to go, okay, here's 1,000 lots, we've got to sell 1,000 lots. And they've paid for all that construction.
So that is a lot up front when you think about it.
Yeah. So they might go, okay, here's 100, here's another 100. Obviously, what we're talking about, because most people can't develop 1,000 lots straight away.
Yeah.
Most people are talking about normally a 2, 3, 5, 7, 15 unit subdivision or build, and they're doing it in parcels.
Yeah. And is every area the same? You can just grab your block and go, I'm going to bung 3 units on here?
No, they're all very, very different. And even within certain areas, there's also different zonings within those areas and also different town planning policies and scheme amendments sitting on the top of those as well, that your next door neighbour who's like, well, so let's say on this other side of the street can do something and you can't.
Oh, jeepers.
and that does cause some
really
trepidation.
It can, yep. Well, actually, I mean, I suppose we just recently moved and discovered that we were on one side of the street that was just the wrong side for a certain school catchment area, as opposed to like. So I guess that is how they kind of split things, isn't it?
Yes, well, that's the thing. Sometimes you can blur those lines, so to speak.
Right.
But yes, that's definitely one of the things that can actually happen.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is part of the, if any of these thoughts have been occurring to people, then obviously get in contact with the team at Dale Alcock. And you know, I imagine first step would be you'd make sure that there aren't any obvious roadblocks to the process.
Definitely. A lot of the times, a great tip regarding this is actually doing it as you were going to build the end development. So you start with the end in mind.
Right, okay.
Very much so.
Yeah.
For instance, I'll give you an example. I've got a client who came to me. He had a block, and he said, look, I want to build the family home behind where we are now, and we're going to then sell the front property or maybe knock it down and build again. I did some research and found out he could actually build three on his lot.
Okay.
And he says, oh, yeah, look, I looked into building three, but I want to build just this one big one. I said, well, you can do that. However, if we make the house a little bit smaller, we can build that one at the back, and then later on down the track, you can either A, knock down the house and build two, or then you can sell the house and it's actually a developable site. So therefore, it's worth more for the next person to come along and they may develop the site.
Mm, mm.
Well, we've got Jason Blake in with us here. We're talking home building for Dale Alcock, multiply your profit with developments by Dale Alcock. And it's one of those things where you don't, by the sound of things, necessarily have to go into this with a big wad of cash to make it happen. The way that you approach it can mean that you can actually fund it as you go.
Correct.
Mm.
Yes, and also as well, some people as well don't have the comfort levels. Like, for instance, we were speaking just briefly off air before, and you have a client like one of your friends just recently. Grandma's in the house basically, and she may not want to move. She loves the house. She's got her friends around her. She got the kiddies are down the road.
Might have been there 30 years. There's a lot of roots put down.
Yeah,
fair enough. And a lemon tree that no one wants to touch. Like
that's
the big one.
Mm.
Yes, well, definitely. Well, if they give you lemons, you're going to make lemonade, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
So we can build the one at the back, not touch the existing house. And if grandma wants to move into that house, great. Kids want to move in, maybe not so great. But anyway.
you're sort of open to flexibility, I guess.
Well, it opens the parameters, allows people to do what they need to do.
Mm.
And grandma might go, oh, look, I don't want a $300,000 mortgage now to build a house.
Yeah.
Then you might go, okay, we'll just sell off this front one here and we'll get the money back, grandma. And then you can go, on that trip to South Africa if you want to go on that tour, that
bus. Not locking them in again to something that really does scare them, obviously.
Well, I imagine there'd be plenty of people that would like to avoid, a large mortgage if they could, having potentially had some experience with it. Once bitten, twice shy quite often on that front, isn't it?
Yeah, well, also it allows them to obviously sell or rent one unit instead of having to sell or rent three units.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, if they knock down the front house, they've got to go rent somewhere as well.
Yeah. Do you find there are examples of people that sort of come in and go, okay, first off, I want to just do this with my block, but then after getting a taste for it, they go, all right, I want to do this now.
Yes, lots of us have been bitten by the bug. I'm sitting here because of that. That happened 15 years ago and I haven't stopped. But, once you actually start making some money, it's also can be a very, very enjoyable, exciting process.
Well, I guess you get to see something at the end of it, you build something. You could see, I made that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. We all like to do construction of some description, whether it's building our lives or basically building the model plane for our son or whatever. So it can be very, very exciting, and you can see an end product and you can have some pride and say, look, I created this.
Mm. And obviously with that stage development, you're taking a task that sounds very daunting when you think about it at home. You're having your cup of coffee and you're going, we should really have a look at this, but you put it on the back burner because it just seems too scary to something that actually seems quite logical and
manageable.
And manageable, yeah. Like you said, not going into huge debt, all of those things to make a project happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm.
When you've got a mountain to climb, you look at the top, you go, well, that's a very big mountain. I can't do that. But if you go, okay, we'll just get to that little clearing there, and then when we get to that clearing there, we'll have a look around, and if we feel like climbing the next bit, we'll do it. If not, we'll just sit here and enjoy the view.
Yeah, yeah.
Helping you play it by ear. We'll come back. But if you've got any stories, by the way, of stage developments that you've had a crack at, particularly if you've tried it yourself. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but if you've tried it yourself and learnt things the hard way, feel free to share your
tips. Those tricky questions on where do I go now?
Indeed. If you've got any questions at all for Jason, feel free. Give us a buzz. 9221 882. It's Let's Talk Home Building for Dale Alcock, and we're back in a tick with some more of your calls. It's 7:15 now.
This is Let's Talk Home Building for developments by Dale Alcock, helping developers to minimise their risk and maximise their profits. This is Let's Talk Home Building for developments by Dale Alcock, helping developers to minimise their risk and maximise their profits.
Yes, good morning to you. Once again, we are here with Jason Blake from Dale Alcock, and we are talking stage developments. And if you've got stories to share or questions to ask about this particular form of maximising the value of your spots, then give us a buzz. 9221 882. And as we were talking about, Jason, it's kind of a... it's kind of one of those things, you know, how big is a piece of string when it comes to how big can a stage development be?
Yes. Well, most of the time there's a finite amount you can put on a block. Like some people come and say, look, I want to put 10 on the block. And you go, well, you can put 3.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount. But regarding the stage part is actually saying maximising the amount you can put on the block, getting it all zoned and getting it all approved. And then maybe building one or two or three or four, depending on how many parts are in the stage that you wish to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, talk us through, what do you reckon is the most common example of a stage development that you find yourself involved in? Talk us through the circumstances and how it pans out.
Normally it's the triplex. You find in the older areas with, you know, say 800 squares to, say, 1,000 square metres.
Old school blocks.
Yeah, the old school blocks, okay, in the older areas. And the house was set back a fair distance back in the day, because back the front yard was, you know, the best part, especially if it was facing north. So everyone liked to have the big lawns, and the house was kind of sitting in the...
It was funny how we did that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit different. We've changed life now. Now it's the backyard. Okay, but so the house is actually sitting probably in the first third to a half. And so it's sitting on like what two blocks would be, but there's still some backyard. And so... you draw up three that sit on it, and you find that the house is sitting smack dab in the middle of two homes, which does pose a problem to build on. But there's a free clear space at the back, so we draw up the three, and then we build the one at the back first.
Right, so the minimal interference one is the first one you go for.
You're thinking about the process.
This is the way that you do it, so that it is, you know, if it's mum in there or you or whatever the case, least dramas.
Exactly. So the investment, the backyard becomes, I suppose, the self-managed super fund.
Right.
Okay. And then we build the one at the back. So, you know, we've got something built, so there's two on the block then. And then they can either say, well, let's knock down the front, honey, we'll move in the back. Or, oh, let's sit on it for a while and we'll see how the market plays out, especially in times like now.
Right. And I guess that's the thing, is that, you know, you're not doing it this way in this stage process. You're not stuck, you know, over committing to things and, you know, finding the situation changes around you. Like this means you can adapt to where the market's at.
Well, yeah, the term like mitigation of risk, which is the big words of saying, oh, let's be careful.
It's a slightly more conservative approach.
It is. It's far safer. It allows people more movement. It does take a little bit longer time frame, of course, and that's something you need to look into.
Like, that's what I was just going to ask. Are there time frames that the council might put on you that you have to finish that development within a two-year period or anything like that?
Oh, this man's been doing his research. Yeah. Exactly what happens. Normally when you get a development approval to build lots through local government, you have a two-year window to start the full development. But in saying that, you can get that extended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say, for instance, as an example, we've got the house, the triplex, we build the one at the back, that takes, say, a year, and then you've got a year afterwards to say, hey, let's get another building license and build the front too. In saying that, I've actually had clients that say, look, not quite ready yet. You know, the daughter's getting married. We've got to spend some money there. We want to go the trip over to America. We want to spend some money there. So we don't want to commit to building two right now.
Right.
And we get an extension from local council for, say, 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
They go about what they do in life. You know, daughter gets married. tries to move into the back house. And then they come back from holidays and they go, okay, well, let's knock down the house and build the next two. Or it could be, let's sell that house to a developer and we want to go buy the nice house in Mozzie Park or whatever.
Well, see, this is the thing. This is the exact kind of flexibility that I think everybody would feel much more comfortable going into these situations with. But, I mean, I know that if I was trying to plan it all myself, I would not go in feeling like I had all of my options covered.
Mm.
This is the key, I guess, behind getting a grown-up behind you.
Well, grown-up actually knows what they're doing. Yeah. So that would be...
Yeah.
Lots of grown-ups out there that don't know what they're doing.
So if someone's got a,
that's true.
a project and they want to have a go, they would just come straight to you and say, this is what the block I've got, this is where I am. Are you able to help me sort it out? Is that where it starts? Or?
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I normally probe a little bit more by asking questions on what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Because we've all got different goals. We all want to do different things in life. And if I can find what you're trying to do, like the end goal, we work backwards from that, reverse engineer it, so to speak. So we come back, say, okay, we want to be here. Okay, let's put the stages in place to get you to that goal. Now, life changes. So sometimes we might have an end goal, but that may move. This way allows us left to go left fork or down the right fork if we need to, down the track. So, yeah.
If you've got any questions about stage developments or if you want to share an experience, we would like to hear from you. 922-11-882. So I'm just trying to think, how would you kind of identify if you were sort of someone that should probably take this approach? Like what sort of goals would you find yourself looking for that in your mind would put you into stage development territory?
Well, the first things first is obviously that they want to do something and maybe you're seeing around your neighbourhood people developing.
Right.
Okay, so normally you'll find it like down the road next doors or someone's actually done a development and they might have actually done it as one whole bit. You might have seen the next door house or the one down the street get completely knocked over and they've built 2, 3, 5, 6 units. And you go, oh, that sounds great. I'd love to do that, but I don't want to knock down the home. We've spent too much time in it now. But maybe in 10 years' time, we may want to move or we may want to retire or the kids have finished school and we want to downsize. There's all these different variables that can happen. So that's one way of doing it. But we normally find that most people kind of have a feel of what they can do.
They kind of know, yeah.
They kind of know. But in saying that, I had one during the day. On Thursday, I actually rang up and said, look, I've got a really big block in Netherlands. I want to develop it. And I said, great. And I looked at the block and it looked really great. But when I looked at the zoning, it couldn't be done.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of them spending lots of money, they just made a phone call. And I unfortunately gave them some bad news at that particular point in time. But that's very rare, though.
That's got to be better news than spending money than discovering the bad news.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a free service. So making a phone call just takes a little bit of time, and I do all the research for you. And after the research and a little bit of information trying to find out what you're trying to achieve, I normally like to give several different ways of doing that. Because one will more than likely fit where you are at this particular point in time better than the others.
Right. So, I don't know, maybe you want to maximise land or maybe you want to create an income source or maybe, like you talked about before, you want to build your superannuation plan on the back of the lot. Maybe people around you have started developing the areas. I mean, all of these things, if you're noticing all of these things, I guess they're all boxes that sort of get ticked that make potentially you somebody that might want to have a crack at a stage development.
Simple phone call away.
Yeah, we recommend you get in
and
contact.
And like you were saying, it obviously is... It almost is like you're setting up your super fund if it works for you, doesn't it? You know, if you own the block and own your house, you're at that stage in life and you've sort of outgrown that area.
Or you know what? Even by the sound of things, if you've got a bit left on the mortgage and you want to go, look, I want to see if I can come up with a way to get rid of this because, the standard working and paying for an approach isn't doing it quick enough, that's another one.
Yeah, well, for instance, you those old blocks, you might have $50,000, $100,000 left on your mortgage and you're going, well, I would really like to be debt-free, and I don't really need the backyard at the moment. You develop the home, and for instance, because you pretty much own the land, you may be spending like $200,000 to $300,000 building a single story at the back, and that single story might be worth $500,000. So that $200,000, which is pretty much the net profit before taxes, will definitely pay off a $100,000 mortgage.
Yeah.
Like the figure, and this is the thing, you've got to realise the figures, and you know, you probably won't know your way around the construction costs. You won't be able to get the ballpark idea about these things unless, as we say, you talk to a grown-up, like the team here at Tal Orcock.
I just fit in with the grown-up.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, we're referring to you as the grown-up in the operation here, at least. So, as always, thank you for coming in and talking us through it, and feel free, I guess, to give you a buzz at Tal Orcock if anything's, you know, started any ideas in people's heads.
Wow. Certainly started in mine. I've got no plate, no areas or anything else, but gee, it gets you thinking, doesn't it?
Maybe. You know, possibilities.
Well, it's possibility. It is possibilities. And it's very simple just to make a phone call. It takes 2 seconds. You make the phone call and we do the research for you, and it doesn't cost you anything.
No. Yeah. And it just seems like a very secure way of a secure investment to me. Like, you know, it's the old bricks and mortar thing, I know, but it just feels like it's one of those investments that you go, this is, you know, pretty safe.
Especially if you've already got the block, you're already paying for the land, you can already afford it. Normally you find the construction side of things, the rental income, if you're, say, renting it, will cover the interest component and some. It's normally positively cash flowed. So it actually puts money in your pocket.
So it's not just getting rid of debt, it's actually giving you income out of the process. Well, see, all of these things, they turn the hill, the mountain, into, you know, achievable steps, potentially.
Absolutely. And if you speak to your accountant, there's ways of depreciating the building off and actually not paying much tax on it. But please put your accountant and financial advisor before
doing
just
so. Cream on the cake by the sound of things there. Jason Blake, as always, thank you for dropping in, mate.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Jason.
Chat to you next time round with Let's Talk Home Building for Dale Orcock.
This is Let's Talk Home Building for developments by Dale Orcock, helping developers to minimise their risk and maximise their profits.
So you want to get fit, but the bank balance isn't looking too healthy. Well, here's something to get your heart pumping. Orbit's flexible rent-to-buy plans mean you can start getting fit now. Work out at home with the latest equipment from only $4.45 a week. Yep. $4.45 a week. For more information, check out orbitfitness.com.au and click on FlexiFit. Terms and conditions apply.